Good morning, everyone. I'm Jeff. Glad you're here this morning. Or should I say, I'm glad you're here this morning. Because this morning is all about stillness and quiet. A little awkward, isn't it? Yeah. We believe that stillness and quiet can be an amazing precursor to connecting with God. We often talk about prayer and prayer being this communication to God, but oftentimes we fall into this trap of seeing prayer as this blah, 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 and God bless so-and-so, and God protect us, and give us this, and God help me, and God, and please, and do this, and don't forget about blah, 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 right? But prayer is so much more than that. Prayer isn't just a one-way yak session where you air out your laundry with God and he twists his arm to do something for you. Prayer can be this powerful experience where you also are quiet and you begin to listen and hear God. Feel God's direction and his guidance and his warmth. You know what I'm talking about? All throughout the Bible, we read in the accounts of Jesus' life, him continually going, time out, I'm getting away. And in different passages would say, he would go away sometimes all night. We know sometimes days he would go away, be alone. It wasn't just one big yak session. Jesus just nonstop talking to God. No, there would have been many hours, many, many of quiet. Stillness. Moments when he would have been listening, experiencing God in another realm. We believe that stillness and quiet can be a powerful precursor to experiencing the divine. Next week, we're going to talk about listening and what that looks like, and hearing. But today, we want to talk about just being quiet. Straight up, of all the assignments that I get in a year to speak on, this is my least favorite. This is the truth, because I don't do well in quiet. I don't do well being still. I think I was a problem child as young, when my teacher would ask us to sit, as soon as she'd say, sit still, I would, there's something that didn't work well. And if I look back historically in my life, the different times I've tried to be in that place where I'm still and quiet for the purpose of connecting with God, it hasn't gone well. And I'm going to tell you why, because I don't think in all my years of growing up, and I've grown up in church all my life, I don't think I ever heard anyone explain to me what I'm supposed to be thinking or doing when I'm quiet. I've watched lots of people role model yakety yak. If you needed me to pray for the next half hour, I could do it. I'd fill up that space right now. I'm the appointed prayer at every family dinner. I've prayed more prayers at weddings, funerals, you name it. I can pray yakety yak. But to be calm and focus my mind, just being still. Oh, tricky. Extremely. In fact, a few years back, our whole staff team went as a team to do a yoga session. We thought it'd be cool. All of us kind of go. And I'd never done one before. I was taught as a young kid that was a bad thing. Can't be right. It's not Christian. And so I remember going into this session, and there was one point where the lady had us lay on our backs, and she just started saying, no, stop thinking about that and this and that. Just be still. And all I remember was the next thing, opening my eyes, and the staff are all laughing. I was snoring. I was out like a light. I don't do well with this. And so rather than pretending I'm the expert this morning, which I hope I don't do very often, but I've asked someone who is an expert to come, who this is their livelihood, helping people focus in stillness and quiet. This is a whole art form. And so I'm going to invite Vanessa. Would you come up? So I want to just do a little interview, and then I'm going to let her go, and she's going to lead us in some exercises this morning. How do you spell your last name?
S-I-K-O-M-A-S.
Sorry, not spell. Say it.
Sikomas.
Sikomas.
Yeah.
I meant to ask you that before, and I didn't want to butcher it. Sikomas. Can you welcome Vanessa Sikomas to the stage this morning? Glad you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You understand the mental mechanics behind this. You've been doing this for 7 years. What led you into this thing?
In my teenage years and as in my early 20s, I struggled a lot with anxiety and keeping myself up at night, thinking about all of the imaginary tragedies that I could come up with. And
you were a worrier.
A huge worrier about everything. And I realized I had to do something about it because it was affecting my life. Uh-huh. And I went and saw an Ayurvedic doctor, which is an Eastern medicine, and she said, you should try yoga nidra. I had no idea what that was. She said, go Google it. I'm sure you can find it. So I went home, Googled it. I found one teacher in the city who taught it, and I went to her class. And that was the... the clincher
the
for
turning
me.
Turning point. Totally. Okay, so yoga nidra. Mm-hmm. I just hear those words and I go, ooh, sounds spooky to me. Yeah. Can you unpack that? What does nidra mean? Because this isn't just your yoga class. This is different.
Yeah. It is different, yeah. Traditionally in the West, when we think of yoga, we think of going in and doing our downward dogs and upward dogs. When yoga is a whole spiritual practice. And yoga nidra specifically, nidra is a Sanskrit word which means sleep. And basically all you do is you lie down and you're guided through a fully guided meditation where you're led through different phases of the being, of the body, of your breath, all these different layers. But what all these layers have in common is that they bring us into the moment, into this moment.
This moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we spent quite a bit of time chatting about that. I've been intrigued by that because, in fact, in numerous messages I've talked about over the last year, I've been encountering when I move into these quiet moments, I've often, and I've described this with people, and some look at me like I'm a little crazy, but voices, and it's not like weird voices or anything, but it's me talking, but my past comes up. And then I start worrying about things ahead or whatever. And I just find what I'm there to do just gets hijacked because I get into bouts of either I'm thinking about stuff I need to be doing or I'm worried about stuff that I did or said. And you talked about that, the past and the future playing a part of this. Can you just tell them what you told me?
Well, when we talk about the busy mind, sometimes...
The busy mind.
We want to, I think, first understand exactly what that means. Well, what are we doing when we have a busy mind? And generally what that means is that we're either living in some aspect of the past, so in a memory, or we're living in some aspect of the future, our imagination. And both of these two things, what they have in common is that they all are in here. They don't actually exist. They don't actually exist. They exist in your mind. You created the memory, and you can create this imagination of all kinds of things that can happen.
Or could happen, yeah.
But what you're missing is that middle piece. And I think when we say something like be in the moment, you can think, okay, well, I'm here. I'm physically here. How much more in the moment can I be? I'm here. But it really is a matter of bringing your mind fully into the moment, and we'll go through some layers of that as we go through. But
I know last week Vince was here, and for those of you that were here, he talked about the power of shame and that powerful emotion which lies in the past. It's stuff that has gone on, and now it comes into your present, and it disrupts your ability to connect with God. You see what we're doing here? Let me just connect the dots. If we can learn to be in this moment, to be present and not let our past, not let shame, not let worry and anxiety from the future, but if we can remove all that to be in this moment, that we believe is the red zone. That's the 5-yard line when you're coming in for a touchdown. And God can be experienced so powerfully. One moment, I remember, I went out to Mount St. Francis. It's a retreat center. Mm-hmm. And I was given specific instructions. Don't take my phone. Don't take books. Don't take anything. Just go and be quiet. And I was scared to death of the assignment. I went out and I was out there for 8 hours. And including a lunch break and whatever, I'm telling you, 7 hours and about 45 minutes of that day was a write-off because I was so, I had busy mind, busy head, and I couldn't share. I was worried about this, what is that? And I would even just, okay, shh, okay. And then I would find myself, I'm over here worrying about this. But there was one moment when I experienced, I think, what you help people experience. And it was in that moment, the anxieties and the regrets and the pressure, all those things just evaporated. And I remember just being, it was almost like my internal world just expanded. Mm-hmm. And the peace that came was undeniable. Yeah. 15 minutes out of 8 hours.
Yeah.
Would you... I can't afford that kind of day to only get that return. But I'm telling you, if you could help us, that's if you can help us, and that's why I brought you here this morning, show us
totally
how we could practice this more. Okay, I'm done talking.
Okay.
I'm going to release her to do it. Once again, let's welcome her, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Work your magic.
Sure. So I just want to start off, I'm going to spend the bulk of my time with you really trying to take you into the experience of being in the moment, because experience is the greatest teacher that we have. I can sit here and talk for hours about quieting the mind, but all I'm going to do is put more thoughts in your mind, and that's going to defeat the purpose. So I'm going to ask you all to take a leap of faith with me, and we're going to go into a guided meditation. And before we do, I just want to demystify this word meditation. I think sometimes we think that it's meant for certain people who, like Jeff said, have 8 hours to spend and sit in a room. But the way I've come to understand meditation is that it's anything that brings you into present moment. So that can be passions, that can be things like art or music. I think that's why we love music so much, is because it brings us into a rhythm and we almost can't help but be in the moment. When the band was playing up here to start, I closed my eyes and I just allowed myself to get filled up with this music, and I was so in it. And then when I came out, I thought, I got to get up here and talk in front of everybody. I don't know what I'm supposed to be talking about. I got totally lost. And that's what I'm talking about. It's not about, you know, sitting and cross-legged for an hour or 20 minutes. It's about just bringing yourself here right now. So let's do it. I'm going to get everyone to stand up to start. We're going to stretch the body. We're going to take the hands on your inhale. Let's reach way up to the sky and feel your feet planting down into the ground, really steady and evenly balance the weight between your feet, and reach up as though you're just waking up this morning. Lift your rib cage up out of your waist. Let's take an exhale. Let's take a deep inhale breath together. And then let's come back to sit, and we're going to keep the feet planted on the ground if you can, both feet evenly. And then sit in the back of your seat. If you can, bump the back of your bum up into the back of the chair and find as tall of a seat as you can. And then you can close your eyes. And for this first moment, we're going to give our mind the opportunity to run wild. Because for most of us, there's all kinds of stuff going on. And we might be thinking about things we have to do when we leave here. We might be thinking about stuff that happened this morning or last week. or maybe feeling a little bit unsure, uneasy about this experience. And see if right now you can bring all of your attention into what it is that's going on inside of you. What thoughts are you having? Where do you feel pulled in terms of, do you feel pulled to a person, like thinking about a person, or feel drawn to a place or a time? And first, we just want to notice, where are we going when we have this busy mind? What are we even doing? Then I'm going to ask you all to create a box in your mind. And you're going to begin to place all of those thoughts, those people, those places, anything that's a distraction or that's pulling you away from being in this room with me right here, and put it in your box. You can close the lid and then just push it aside. And then begin to take your attention down into the pelvis and feel yourself sitting evenly into your chair and feel your feet grounding down into the floor. And then move your attention into the base. And then begin to move one vertebrae at a time up the spine. And you can invite a little bit of movement and sway into the spine, searching for this even space where one vertebrae is stacked on top of the other, evenly and straight. And as you move up the spine, it should feel as though the body is relaxing and sinking a little bit deeper into your seat. Because when the spine is aligned, then it becomes more effortless to sit. And bring your shoulders, allow them to draw down and away from the ears. And as the shoulders drop down, feel the crown of the head lifting up. And then begin to tune into your breath, and without creating any manipulation or changes in the breath, we're going to just watch your breath and notice if there's a certain part of the body that you're breathing into naturally. And notice if the breath feels shallow or if it feels deep. Notice if you're breathing through one nostril more than the other. Notice if the breath feels restricted or fluid. And then now, on your next inhale breath, begin to draw the air in deep down into the pelvis. filling up the bowl of the pelvis with your breath. And then allow it to infuse into the belly and into the sides of the waist and into the back, into your solar plexus or the base of the rib cage, into your chest, and into the space between your shoulder blades. And then take a pause at the top of your inhale. And then begin the exhale, releasing first from the pelvis, then from the belly, then from your solar plexus or the base of the rib cage, then from your chest and upper back. And then drop your awareness, drop all your attention down into the base of your exhale, where you notice this quiet place right before the inhalation comes in. And then fill up in the same way, pelvis, belly, chest. Pause at the top of the inhale. And then exhale, pelvis, belly, chest. And drop in to the bottom of the exhale. Take a moment now to practice this on your own, holding your attention into your breath and this deep inhalation and deep exhalation. And if at any point the mind begins to drift in and take you away from your breath, acknowledge where you went. What came in? What was the distraction? And then bring yourself back. And watch yourself be breathed. And then after your next exhale, allow your breath to return to a natural rhythm. And I'm now going to take you into the body. And as I name various parts of the body, you're going to bring your attention into each part that I mention. And if you like, you can work with bringing in sensation, or you can even visualize in your mind a light, a white light moving from body part to body part. So begin to move into your right hand, your forearm, your elbow, your upper arm, and your right shoulder. Move into your right foot, right ankle, calf, knee, upper leg, and your hip. Come into your left hand, left forearm, elbow, upper arm, and shoulder. Left foot, left ankle, calf, knee, upper leg. Experience your torso, your belly, and your chest, the low back and the upper back. Experience your head and your face. And drop yourself now, drop all of your attention down into the space of your heart. And here in the heart, begin to awaken the feeling and the emotion of gratitude. So you may call on a person or a situation or a thing that you feel particularly grateful for, so that you can create the emotion in the heart of gratitude. And see if you can connect with the vibration or the tone of how gratitude feels in the heart. And maybe you feel it more in another part of the body. Now we're going to move into your sense of sound. And with the eyes still closed, you're going to begin to turn up the volume on all the sounds that you can hear inside the room, outside the room, the sound of your breath. Without identifying a location or a source, just taking in as much sound as you can. And now what we're going to do next is you're going to hold your awareness of all the sounds that you hear, and you're going to slowly begin to open the eyelids and keep your gaze soft. So don't let the eyes move around the room. Just keep your gaze soft and open your eyes and just observe the visual stimulus in front of you, whether that's a chair, you can see your lap, the colors of the room. And then see if you can take in all the visual stimulus of this moment and all of the auditory stimulus of this moment together. And then this is the moment. This is the wave that you want to ride. The past being behind the wave and the future being in front of the wave. And as though we were going to surf, we want to catch the wave at just the right point where we can find ourselves right here. Because regardless of what's going on in your life, this is the moment where your life is happening. And whether you're going through grief or you struggle with anxiety or depression, when you're fully engaged in this moment, none of that exists. And so what I wanted to leave you all with was the tools for how to bring meditation, how to bring presence and being in the moment into your everyday lives. Like we said, we don't have to sit for 8 hours to get in the moment. We can be in the moment right now. The moment's always here. It's our constant. And so there's 5 things that I went through just now. And you can do these things anytime in your life when you're standing in line at the grocery store. You can do it when you're having a confrontation with someone, or just when you notice emotions arising within you that you want to try to calm down. So the first one is moving into your breath. Your breath is always with you, and you can play with noticing the breath, noticing the qualities of the breath, and then and then begin to manipulate it, feel yourself breathing into the belly. That one's pretty straightforward. The second one is moving into your body. So I took you through a really quick rotation through the body, and that's a great one that you can do, again, without anybody even knowing. And you can just go, okay, I'm paying attention to my hand, my forearm, my elbow, my arm, and you just go through. The next one is to bring your attention into your surroundings so you can begin to turn up the volume on all your senses, your sense of touch, sound, your visual stimulus. Eating, when you're eating your meals, that's a beautiful time to get in the moment and really enjoy and taste your food. We sometimes just pile it back and we don't even pay attention to what we're eating. But today, tonight, when you sit down, most of us on Sundays, we have family dinners, things like that. See, maybe you sit down together tonight and you practice just being quiet and experiencing your food and being together and keeping it simple. The other one is working with visualization. So we did a little bit of that with, you know, moving light through the body. You can also pick an image in your mind that you can just hold in your mind to focus on. And people who are visual people will really connect with that one. And then the last one, which is really powerful, is moving yourself down into the space of your heart. And I feel this one is the most applicable when you are praying and when you are speaking to God, because I think that God communicates through the language of the heart. And that when we can really pull in the feeling of what it is we want or what it is we're trying to communicate, that we can... our message is so much more potent. And so that's a really great one too. Just get out of here and bring your awareness down into here. And this ties in a little bit to the message that they're going to be talking about next week, which is learning to listen to, listening to God and getting messages from God. So just like there's these tools that I've given you today for getting into the moment, these are all avenues that God can use to talk to you and to communicate with you. So again, if you're looking out into your surroundings, you might notice things like synchronicities or signs or things that just strike you and go, that's interesting. And maybe in the past you would have written it off, but that's possibly God talking to you. And so I just wanted to leave on that note that we get into the moment and there's all these ways in, and there's more than one way that God can talk to us. So thank you all so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Vanessa.
Sorry, I went a little over.
That was awesome.
Good.
Thank you.
Cool, yeah, thank you.
You know, I think there have been other religions. Eastern religion has capitalized on this. And us in the Western world, we're way behind, but we're catching up and we're realizing so much of experiencing God ties into all. We believe God can be found and experienced in all senses, all around us. So hope that was valuable to you. Hope you'll take this and experience moments of stillness and quiet this week. Practice. Because when next week, when we just slow ourselves to be quiet, to listen, we'll have some of these skill sets already in play. It's going to be good. You won't want to miss it next week. We're going to close this morning by taking communion together. And, you know, this is just really, if you've been around here often, every church kind of has a different way of maybe doing this. But we see communion as an opportunity to be able to reorient our lives with our commitment to God. Jesus said before he left, he says, I'm going to give you this grape juice or this wine and this bread, and I want you to use these symbols often. Every time you drink of this cup and you eat bread together in this environment, will you remember me? And so we take time on a regular basis to just call a timeout over everything that we're doing and say, let us once again, for those of us who have signed up, not on paper, but in our hearts, to a lifetime of living like Christ in our world, may we stop today and be reminded once again why. And may we ask God, is there places where right now, even in this moment, we can recognize we're steering south and we need to get ourselves back on track? This can be a powerful moment of just realignment with God. Is there a relationship that we've let get out of order? Is there a step, an action that we've taken over the last little while that wasn't right? Is there just a place that we've allowed ourselves to go that isn't fitting with who we are or what we want to be? Allow this moment now to make things right, to be remember why it is Jesus we like. So the music's going to play, the band is going to sing. It's just a moment where you can come, you can grab a piece of bread, and you can dip it into this white grape juice. And you can say a little prayer. Just say, God, I recommit my life to living like Jesus in my world. Help me to be vigilant, to be intentional this week. Show me the things that aren't right. I'll make them right. Love you. It's optional. You don't have to do it. If you want to be dismissed, you can. If you'd like to just sing, you can. If you want to take it and go back to your seat and sit and just experience this moment, feel free. All right? Maybe to make it easy, we'll have the lineups for on the outside and have you come around this way, and then you can either exit or go back to your seats through the middle. Okay? God bless you. May God's peace be with you this week. As you live like Christ in your world, as you still your heart and your mind, allow God to speak.